all of us, I don't know, most of you have heard Jody speak before, but we want to welcome Jody Cagle, his wife Tamara. It's just an absolute blessing. And this is the first time that I recall, and back in the back here, are their children, Hayden, Ashton, and Grayson. So they're hiding back there. Mama said that the little one might get rowdy. It's okay to get rowdy. Listen, I don't know how many of you heard Jody speak before, but he gets a little rowdy once in a while. But it's all in the name of the good Lord. So we thank you for that. But let's all welcome them to our church. Looking forward to the message.
Right. everybody this morning. Amen. And thank God for the opportunity to be here. And appreciate everything. And Pastor Darrell's texting this week. And so we're just excited about being here and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. Amen. And my wife's going to bless you in a song this morning. And she's going to sing, as she always does. I would tell you that I taught her everything she knows, but as you know by now, I have not sang, so therefore that is not true. Amen. And so I have to tell the truth, and I did not teach her anything about singing. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, you know, one thing that we've always learned is you got to stay in your lane. Amen. Stay where you're called. And then stay out of where you're not called. Amen. Somebody say, I don't know where I'm called. Well, go visit the nursery, and we'll find out if you're called to that or not. Amen. Go visit the children's ministry. We'll find out if you're called to that or not. And so there's certain things that you can do to find out if you're called to that. And so we just thank God. It's been a great summer. In case you don't know me, I'm Jody. This is my wife, Tamla. We travel. We preach the gospel. Been busy this summer. Just to kind of give you an update very quickly, we were at a youth camp back in the 1st of July. And God just amazingly touched these youths from 13 to 18 years of age. We were in Indiana preaching at that. And then I went to a church just last, last month, the end of July, I believe, 1st of August in Indiana as well. And it's amazing. I just want to tell you this because I talked to this pastor even just Friday again. But I went to this church on Sunday night. Let me just tell you this. And this church was filled with ex-drug addicts. It was filled with people that just got out of prison. And that's their mission. That's their call. But there were so many people there on Sunday night that I could not even get down the aisle from the pastor's office to the front of the stage. And then when they left, I saw this with my own eyes. You wouldn't believe it either, but I saw it with my own eyes. I'm telling you. But I saw men carrying fold-up chairs back to their house because they had to bring their own chair to sit in the sanctuary that night. And there was pews, but there was chairs up and down the aisle, along the walls, and even in the front. Can I tell you, there's still a God, and He still saves, He still delivers, He still heals, and He's still touching lives today. Amen? Amen. How many can say amen? Amen? And I'm telling you, there's lives being changed. The problem that today, I believe, is not with God. The problem is a lot of times with us. And so He can only give what we're expecting. He can only give what we're asking. You have not because you ask not. And so He said, whoever knocks, the door shall be opened. So I'm challenging you today to get your expectors on. What are you expecting from God? I'm telling you, God is in the business of touching lives, changing lives, restoring families, healing the brokenhearted, and saving the lost. Amen. There's still a God, and He's still on the throne. Amen. And so I'm so excited about what God is doing, not only in our services, but what He's going to do today. Amen. In your life. And so my wife's going to lead us in worship just for a song, and then we're going to get into the Word. Is that all right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Children, praise the Lord, amen. I don't want to forget about them, but it's good to have my children in service. They get preached to all the time, but praise the Lord, they still need it. Amen. Somebody just say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want to preach this morning. I know I don't have very long, but I want to give you a message on faith this morning. Everybody say faith. And I just want to encourage you and keep believing the Lord. Whatever you're believing for, keep believing. Keep trusting. And then the Bible says if you'll keep believing and keep trusting, guess what? You'll keep receiving. Amen. I mean, it's good to receive something, especially at Christmas, on your birthday. Come on, somebody. And so it's good to receive some presents, but how many know it's better to receive from the Lord? Amen. Why? Because what He gives us is everlasting. What He gives us doesn't fade away. Amen. What He gives us is life. Jesus said, I come to give you what? Life and life more abundantly. So thank God that the life that Jesus gives us doesn't fade away. It just keeps getting better and better. Amen. If you want a life worth living, can I tell you that life is found in serving Jesus every single day of your life. Amen. And you'll never be disappointed. It doesn't mean you won't have some trials or situations or circumstances. Sure, you will. But there again, you have a greater one that lives on the inside of you, that you can do all things through Christ which lives in you. You can do all things through Christ which what? Strengthens you. And so this morning I want to build your faith up. Is that alright? And so let's look into the word Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And we all know this is the faith chapter. And this is the word of God where He gave us how to build our faith. He tells us what faith is. And I'm just going to give you this morning. And I want to read Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance. Faith is your substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So it's the evidence of things not seen. So your faith is believing God for something that is not seen. You can't see it with your physical eye, but you're believing God that it's already done in the spiritual realm. It just hasn't manifested in the physical realm yet. Everybody say yet. Yes. And so faith is what believes God for what you don't have, so you can believe God to bring it to pass so you can have it. Verse 2 said, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaking. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him from before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. How many know that we need that testimony? That we please God. Amen. Throughout our life, we need to please God. Verse 6, here it is. But without faith, it is impossible. Everybody say impossible.
Impossible.
Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible. You cannot please God without using your faith. So without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Please who? Please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So what is faith? What is faith? Faith is simply this. It's trusting, commitment of one person to another. It's a trusting commitment from one person to another. In other words, it's your trusting commitment that you trust God that what He said in His Word is true. Romans tells you that whoever believes with the heart, confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. You believe that? You believe that God sent it in His Word, and it was penned by a man that heard from God and by the Spirit of God. So therefore you believe that God would back His Word. And so therefore you committed your faith to the Word, and God committed His Word to you, because He's not a God that's going to lie. So it's a commitment from both parties. So how did you get saved? You believe with your heart. You confess with your mouth. You ask Jesus to come in to be your Lord and Savior in your heart. And then guess what? You were saved, right? So there was a commitment. You did your part. God did His part. You asked for forgiveness. You asked Jesus to come to your heart. Guess what? God kept His word. He saved you. He forgave you all of your sin. Now you're righteous. Now you're ready to go to heaven. You have a mansion awaiting for you one day in heaven because you're saved and Jesus is your Lord, and home will be heaven one day when you leave this walk of life. How many of you are glad for that? Can you just say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So therefore, there was a commitment between God and you. If we do our part, I promise you, God will do His part. He will not lie. He will not back up from His word. But His promises, the Bible said, are yes, and they are amen. So faith is knowledge. In order to have proper faith, you must have knowledge. I probably told you this story before, but it bears repetition. I do not have knowledge on anything mechanical, anything carpentry work, or anything plumbing work. Anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
I don't have any knowledge on that. So when our toilet messes up, I call my dad, which I thought had knowledge. He came down. His lack of knowledge, my lack of knowledge got put together. I was praying that it would be good knowledge. We fixed our toilet. Stopped leaking. Next day, toilet flooded. The whole bathroom. We did not have the proper knowledge. So I called my friend, which is a plumber. I had him come over there. He was very upset. He said, why didn't you call me in the first place? I said, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I had to repent. Why? Because I didn't have proper knowledge. So I'm trying to fix something that I don't have knowledge of to keep from paying a professional who has the knowledge to come fix it right for the first time. So guess what I had to do? I had to clean up a mess that I shouldn't have had. I had to pay more that I shouldn't have had if I just called a professional from the start who had the knowledge to fix it right the first time. Anybody with me, can you say amen? So proper knowledge depends on your faith. If you don't know what the Word says you can have, then you can't believe what the Word says you can have. So therefore you can't receive what the Word of God says you can have. If you don't know that the Word says that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you can't be saved. But how will they know if they don't have a preacher, right? And so the Word of God is important for us to read. Knowledge is important. Proper faith is dependent on proper knowledge. A person can't believe what he or she does not know. So how do you know? Get into the Word. I encourage you. Get into the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Faith is not automatically permanent. Faith is now. Faith is always now. That first word in Hebrews 11:1 there, now faith is. Faith is always in the present. You can't believe God for today for something yesterday. Yesterday is gone. Today is today. I can't believe God for an hour ago. Something that happened an hour ago. Why? It's gone. So I can't believe God in the past. I have to believe God right now. And then not only right now, but I have to believe Him for the future, right? I'm praying for today. I'm praying for tomorrow. I'm praying for next week. I'm praying for next month. So to believe God is not automatically permanent, but it's always in the present tense. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now what does faith mean in the Greek? In case you are a Bible scholar, the Greek is what the original Bible was written in, the Greek and Hebrew language. But faith in the Greek word is pistos. P-I-S-T-O-S is the Greek word. And what faith really means, according to the Greek word here, it means assurance. It means belief. It means confidence. And it means moral convictions. So in other words, when we say now faith is, we could replace these words with the word faith there. So we could say now, instead of faith, we could put now assurance is. Now belief is. Now confidence is. Where is your confidence? Your confidence mostly should be in the Lord. Your confidence, your trust should be in the Lord. The Bible says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So where is your confidence? Where is your trust? I pray it's not in the government. Come on, somebody just say amen to that. Amen. They tell me Social Security won't be around when I get to that age. Praise the Lord. So I got to prepare before I get to that age. Amen. Why? Because I can't have confidence in something that might not be there. That something might not go my way according to the government. I got to have confidence in one who changes not, and that is God Himself. Amen. And so have your trust, have your confidence in the Lord. Hebrews 4:14 says this, hold fast to your confession of faith. Hold fast to your confession of faith. In other words, what you're believing for, if you're believing for household salvation, if you're believing for your children to be saved, if you're believing for a job, if you're believing a breakthrough in your finances, if you're believing for healing in your body, hold fast to your confession of faith. Hold fast to your confidence. Keep believing God for whatever you're asking, whatever you're praying for. Find the Scripture. Get into the Word of God. Get the knowledge on it. Because if you get the knowledge that the Lord wants to give it to you more than you're believing it for, then you'll understand, you'll have more confidence. How many remember when you was a kid? I'm taking you way back. Praise the Lord. Amen. But how many remember when you was a kid? Your youth pastor, or maybe your mom, or your dad, or your grandma, or grandpa, said, I want to go ahead and tell you, kids, we're going to take you to Six Flags Saturday. Or maybe we're going to take you to the movie on Saturday. Or maybe we're going to take you on a vacation on Saturday. And so all week long, what happens? The excitement is building. Anybody with me? Y'all ain't had no excitement lately. Praise the Lord. Somebody needs to go on a trip. Go to the movies, go to Six Flags. But let me just tell you my story. Amen. There was some excitement that filled all the environment when I knew we was going to go somewhere. And so why? Because I didn't get to go a lot of places a lot of times. And so I was excited that I was fixing to get to go somewhere. Amen. And even now, when we're getting ready for vacation, I'm excited about going on vacation. So what we do, we start washing, we start cleaning, we start packing, we start getting this together and that together, the oil change in the car, and start filling up with gas, and we start doing all these things preparing for something that's not even happened yet. Come on, somebody. But I have the confidence that come Saturday, I'm going to go on vacation. Come Saturday, I'm going to Six Flags. Come Saturday, I'm going to the movies. Whatever it was I was supposed to do on that Saturday, I have the confidence that it's going to surely come to pass. So I prepared all week. What would it look like if we have that same confidence, that same faith in God, that I am for sure that His Word is going to surely come to pass? That I'm looking for my children to be saved. I'm looking for a breakthrough come in my finances. I'm looking for a healing in my body. I'm excited. I'm preparing every single day. And guess what? It's going to surely come to pass.
Amen.
I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep having confidence. Why? Because God's going to bring it to pass. Just for me. You know why? Because you are His chosen one. You are special in God's eyes. You might say, you don't even know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. The moment you ask God to forgive you is the moment that He said, I forgive you. He wipes your slate clean. He remembers your sin no more.
Amen.
Amen. So therefore, you are God's chosen. You are God's righteous. You are a righteous person in His eyes. So we must say what the Word of God says about us and put the devil on the run. Now I want you to turn to James. I want you to turn over to James. Just a couple of pages over. James chapter 2. And verse 14. Watch what he says here. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? Watch what he says in verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Verse 17, watch this. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith alone is dead. Faith without corresponding action is dead. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And so faith without works is dead. There must be, faith must be followed by action in order to be effective. You're believing God for something. You're trusting the Lord for something. Let me put it in perspective. Some people have stepped out and taken a job maybe another job that you really didn't know about, but it seemed to be a good offer to you, good salary, good benefits, insurance, vacation, sick days, whatever. If you stepped out from your comfortable job that you had, and you stepped out by faith on the job that was offered to you, maybe you've experienced that before in your life. That's kind of what about faith and works. Why? Because you can keep believing in the same job you're in, and then 14 jobs come over here and they come open. But if you don't have faith with works and believing God and stepping out because you know that's the job for you, because you prayed about it and you feel at peace about it, faith without corresponding works is dead. Not just dead, but the Lord's trying to provide for you over here with a new job, and you're believing God over here, and He's saying, this is it. This is it. If you don't quit this job and go over here, then you can't be blessed by what I'm bringing to you. Anybody with me? Can you say amen? It's just like when I started praying for a wife, and I was in Bible college, and I saw what was coming down the pipe. Lord Jesus, I went to prayer again because it wasn't good. Amen. And so I had to go back to prayer. Any of you heard that story before? I don't have time to repeat it today. But thank God I got a good one. Amen. And she came along later, and still paying her to stay married with me today. Praise the Lord. 19 years later. Amen. We just celebrated our anniversary, actually, this past week. 19 years. Amen. So what a blessing. What a blessing it was. But faith without corresponding action is dead. A lot of times the Lord wants us to believe for something, not just pray for it, but He says not just ask Him, pray, and believe for it, but by faith, go ahead and praise for it. What would you act like, and what would you do if God answered your prayer? Somebody say, oh, I'd give Him glory and give Him honor. I'd call everybody, I'd tell everybody. Well, faith acts like it's already done. Yes. Faith is substance things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. I have my confidence in God that is surely going to come to pass. What did I do Monday through Friday in preparing where I was going on Saturday? Whether it was to the movie, Six Flags Vacation, wherever I was going, I prepared. I was acting like it's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. Have your confidence in God. I mean, no, people will disappoint you. People will let you down. People will betray you. People will lie on you. People will leave you. People will come to you. But God never leaves. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is a God that will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He is right there beside you every step of the way. Whether in good, whether in bad, whether in different, whether in the middle of the road, whether you feel important, whether you don't feel important, whatever it is, your God, He is with you. Have your faith in God. Mark 11:22 said, have faith in God. The most faith, the most trust, the most confidence should be in your God. Let me tell you this story and I'm closing. Let me tell you this story. Listen to this. This is pretty amazing. In the African jungle, listen to this, there's called an African impala. You might have heard of it, you might not. But an African impala is an animal, can jump to a height of over 10 feet. Understand that. That's higher than a basketball goal. Over 10 feet he can jump. And he can cover a distance when he jumps of greater than 30 feet. So it's not only 10 feet high, but 30 feet long. Alright? Now listen to this. Yet these magnificent creatures are kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall. The animals will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will fall. Faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see, and with faith we are freed from the flimsy enclosures of life that only fear allows to entrap us. So a 3-foot wall keeps these animals from jumping 10 foot high and 30 foot long because of a 3-foot wall. What is that saying to us? God is saying, don't allow the enemy, the devil,
to keep you from trusting God, keep you from your confidence relying in God, keep you praying, or keep you from church, or keep you from serving the Lord. Don't let the enemy stop you. Can I tell you, there is not in God's vocabulary the word give up. There is never, God never gives up on you. So therefore, He wants you to have confidence in Him so that you will never in return give up on Him. Why? Because He's faithful. He's a Father. He'll be with you. He's a Comforter. He's a Counselor. He's a very present help in time of need. Have your faith in God. Keep trusting. Keep believing. And you'll keep receiving. Amen. Don't let the enemy discourage you. Don't let the enemy get you down. Yes, he will throw stuff at you left and right. But can I tell you, you're an overcomer. The Bible says, by the word of God, by the word of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of your testimony. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Each trial produces a testimony. But if you never trust God in the trial, you can never have the result, which will be a testimony. Anybody with me? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Keep believing God through everything that you're going through. Fear is the opposite of faith. Both of them cannot be in your heart. So I'm challenging you today, have faith in God. Encourage yourself by reading the Word of God. If you want to have more faith, faith, the Bible says, comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by how? The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by how? The Word of God. So if you want faith to build on the inside of you, I say this all the time. Faith is like fingernails, toenails, and hair. Faith is like fingernails, toenails, and hair. You know how I know that? You don't feel your fingernails or your toenails or your hair growing. But guess what? You don't feel faith growing either. But I promise you they're growing. Especially on your toes when they start to curl. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you can't feel things growing. But I promise you they are. Can I tell you today? Your faith is growing when you read the Word of God. Your faith grows. You might not feel it. But I promise you your faith is growing. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Have more confidence in the Lord than you ever have before. Don't let the devil say no. Don't let the devil discourage you to give up or quit in your life. Can you say amen today?
Amen.
Can you stand on your feet? Tamla, if you don't mind coming to the piano. Can you stand on your feet this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, nobody looking or moving around just for a moment. I just want to make sure today that everybody's saved and on their way to heaven. Just want to make sure today that if you was to leave this walk of life today, that Jesus would welcome you in and say, "Welcome home, thou good and faithful servant." Because there is a home awaiting you in heaven if you're saved today. But if you're not saved, I challenge you. Make Jesus your Lord. Make heaven your final destination when you leave this life. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a grand and glorious party when we get on the other side and see all those that are already there. I promise you, they're doing great. And we're going to be rejoicing and being with them through all eternity. That's forever and ever once we get there. So I want to challenge you right now. If you've never been saved, you want to be saved today. Jesus is calling. Will you answer? If that's you, never been saved, you want to be saved. You say, "That's me, Brother Jody." I want you to lift your hand on the count of three. If that's you today. One, two, three. Anybody? Anybody? You've never been saved. You want to be saved. That's you today. That's you today. You say, "That's me." Anybody at all? Just want to make sure that everybody's saved. Just want to make sure that everybody's saved. Life is like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Make Jesus your Lord. Make Jesus your Lord. All right, everybody looking at me? Everybody saved and on their way to heaven, I pray. If you're not, by myself, I'm one of the gentlemen, the altar workers, or one of the ladies that help you know that Jesus is your Lord. Amen. Before you leave this place, heaven is your home before you leave this place. Amen. Tomorrow is not promised to us. We've got to choose you this day whom we will serve. Choose God. Have confidence with God. One day at a time. Now, play this. Right now. Right now. Now, play this. And so I want to ask you this. Maybe you need prayer about anything. I know we do this when we come here. But if you need prayer about anything, maybe you're going through something in your life, I don't have to know. I'm not you. I'm not your answer. I just trust in the Lord and believe in the Lord who is your answer. And so all I do is stretch my faith and believe with you and your faith, and that two people, the Bible says, touching anything, he's in the midst. Amen. So I disagree with you. So if you need anything from the Lord, I don't know what you might be believing God for. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you need a touch in your home. Maybe you need strength. Maybe you need a job. Maybe you need household salvation. I don't know what you need, but I just know that I'm here to pray for you if you need anything. To believe God to touch you right where you're at. Is that anybody today? Just make your way down. That's anybody today. Can you just sing that, Tamlin? You are here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Thank you, Father. Any situation, any circumstance, in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak supernatural strength over her. I thank you, Lord, that she can do all things through Christ, which strengthens her. Lord, I thank you. You know what she stands in need of. And I pray for the Holy Spirit to meet every need spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. I thank you, Lord, that you're taking her where she's never been with you before. Because she's trusting you. She's trusting in you like never before. Because she's never been here before. And I thank you, Lord, that you're not leaving her. You're not leaving her, but you're with her always. And to the end of the earth, I thank you that you're always with her. Helping her. Strengthening her. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, I pray that you would touch your people today. That whatever they stand in need of, you're a need meter. You're a way man. Nothing is too hard with you. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Thank you, Lord, that our confidence lies in you. Our trust lies in you, in your word. We believe in you, God, that you're making a way where there seems to be no way. You're making the crooked places straight. What the devil means for evil, you're turning for our good. Greater is he that is in us, is he that is in the world. We believe in you, God. You'll never sell us short. You'll never see the righteous forsaken, nor see the begging bread. You stay with us. You stand with us. And you are a strong tower in our life every single day. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. We run into you, and we say everything is going to be all right. We say everything is working out in our favor because we keep trusting. We keep believing in you. So therefore, we keep receiving from you today. In Jesus' name, can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I want to, first of all, I want to thank Jody for bringing us the word today. I want to say this to you. If God hasn't moved you through Jody Cagle, you better check your pulse. That's a fact. I want to take a minute to open the doors to the church. I know we hear Daryl say that often, and sometimes I say, what are you talking about? If you want to join our church, there's three ways that you can do that. You can do it by statement of faith. You can do it by a letter from the church that you may be a member of today. Or you can do it by baptism. And so I just want to give you a minute. If there's anyone at all that wants to join our church, please come forward. Most importantly, if you don't know Jesus, come forward.
Amen.
Well, it's an important one right there.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want to thank Brother Doty and Sister Tamara for bringing us here. And thank you. And I'll close you with prayer and allow you to go on to your Sunday dinner. Let us pray. Almighty God, Lord, we just lift our voice to you and thank you. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful gift that you have given Brother Jody and Sister Tamara, Lord, that they bring your message. It's a true message, Lord, that we all need you. And Lord, we just thank you for sending them to us, that they share that word with us. And Lord, we just ask if there is anyone, Lord, that needs you, guide us to them. Give us the words that we need to say, Lord, that they too can be one of your children. We thank you and praise you for saving us, Lord. And we just lift all the honor and the glory to you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.